Islandus, which was how he got into the sugya in the first place. Tosis talks about it on that base, and it based on the Mishnah on that base. And there's a question of the halacha lemaisa we mentioned at the very end of the shir. The Shulchan Aruch says that Kiddushin Gemurim, quoted from the Rambam, is it a question of whether he knew about it or didn't know about it? If he knew about it, it's pashut. Didn't know about it, it's not clear what it really means. Fine. Now, there are those who interpret the Rambam, long lines of Rashi and Gitnaf Memvov, Ein Odom Oso Biloso Bilas Nus, a very important concept which is found in the Sugya, primarily Masechet Ketubos, and they apply it to Islandus, as opposed to Atosis. Tosis says it does not apply. And there's a lengthy discourse of the Pnei Yoshua, which I'm not going to go into right now at length, even though he's my ancestor, just mention it briefly. The Gemara in Masechet Ketubos, and I don't know if you have Ketubos, I read this Gemara briefly to you Thursday, on the Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. It makes a comparison between two cases here in Masechet Ketubos. One is the case of Rabbi Yishmael, which we saw ourselves on Thursday, it's a sugya later on in Yevamos as well, the Rav Kuf, with the case of what we call a Kedushin al Tanai. And the Gemara makes this comparison. And the question is, how do we paskin? So the Rif paskins there like Ula against Rabbi Yishmael. The Gemara says one excludes the other. La Fuke Mehaitana, Rabbi Yishmael. So Ula says, the Kaddish al Tanai, the whole story, you require a get against Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says you don't require a get, and Ula says that you do require a get. Okay? Tosfos makes a distinction. Islandus, you don't need a get, and by Tanai, you require a get. Why? As the Gemara puts it over here in Ketubos, Dilma Chuli Achli L'Tanai, maybe you forgive the condition. Why? Because of Ein Odom Osi Bilaso, or because of Ein Odom Osi Bilaso, Bilas Nus. How can that be? It seems to be against the Gemara. Comes the Pnei Yeshua the Chiddush. Tosis of Lishi Tosim. Take a look here in Tosis of Masechet Yevamos. Kufim at Beis. Tosis is a Chiddush. What's Tosis Chiddush? Eidus Shekidushe Kidushe Tos. They quote a Pasuk, Hilon Espasa, etc. No, says Tosis. Asmachta bi Almahi. The Pshita the Lav Kidushin in him. Tos says it's for sure not Mekudesh. It's just that we call it an Asmachta B'Yalma, that this whole Drasha is the Rabbanan. It's obviously not Kiddushin. So therefore it means that according to the Mandama, the Mekadesh Al Tanai requires a get. It's only with the Rabbanan. The whole discussion is on the level of the Rabbanan. In other words, the Lok Rabbi Yishmael, the whole discussion in the Sugin Subasai and Dalet is only on the level of the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Yishmael is only dealing with the Rabbanan. The whole thing is purely with the Rabbanan. That's it. And this is what some say. Others disagree. This is according to the Rif, is that you require a get midoraisa, both b'tanai and b'tol. It's not going to be shot in the Rambam, but it comes to Islandus. Here's a whole pilpul. I'm just giving you a short version, just give you a taste of what he says, without going into the details. You see how complicated these sugyas can be. Now, going back to the original case of someone who makes the Kiddushin with a Tanai, and there's a possibility of a Mechilas at Tanai because he doesn't make his Bia Bias Nus, the Rambam writes in that kind of a case, it's a Safek Kiddushin. Shema Mochal Al Tanor. That's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Why? Ein Odom Osa Biloso Bilas Znus. That's the Rambam Shita. Now, it's interesting, in other cases, the Shulchan Aruch writes, in such a similar case, Vadai Baal Hashem Kiddushin. Vadai. The question is, of course, what the parameters are. So here's a big halacha lemaisa shayla like this. When do we say he's Merchel in the Tanai? When is he not Merchel in the Tanai? So the Pisrei Tshuva, on this discussion, quotes a Noda B'Yehuda, who says as follows. If he's going to lose, why should he be Merchel in his Tanai? Why should he doesn't want to be Mochel on his Tanai. If he's going to lose something, then he gets into a whole discussion. If the Tanai is going to work, he's going to pot him from paying the Ksuba. Again, he goes into some of these complications. This is in contrast, Rabbo said, well, this is just a prelude. Back when we wanted to start, we're learning Masechet Yevamos, let's not forget. The famous Rambo says, you can make a Kiddushin ala Tanai in case that you die with no children. We spoke about it on Thursday. the marriage is not a marriage. And that Tanai works. That Tanai works. This Tanai works is quoted Lalocha. There, that's the Iker of the Tanai. There's no Mechila, Eino Mekudeshes. And as we said before, you worry about Bilas Nus. We spoke about it on Thursday. It's not considered to be Znus. That's how we read the Lashon of the Beis Shmuel again. V'lo Shayach Lomad V'lo Neskayim HaTanai. At the time, it was not considered to be Znus, and therefore we do not apply it retroactively. All this, Rabosai, is in the case of where there is a Tanai. Is it Tanai? The Gemara on Daf Kuf Zayin, which we also saw on Thursday briefly, is that if there's a Tanai, there may be certain levels when it works, and sometimes when it doesn't work. Fine. There's a discussion which we had, Rabosai, which I'm just going to mention to you now. Do you require Eid Kiyum for Nisuin? That's an interesting question. Because if it was a Kiddushin with the possibility of Nisuin, there's a Machloikas, you need Eid Kiyum for Nisuin. We know, let's review again. For Kiddushin, you have to have two Eidim. If there are two Eidim are not there, even though it really happened, it didn't happen. Laloch. Must be two Eidim. What about Nisuin? So Machloikas, Gedoli, Aposkin. Do you or don't you require Eid Kiyum for Nisuin? Some say not on a technical basis. The Gemara has a Masech, the Kiddushin Samachemet Beis. Why can't the two agree? He and she will come to Bez. Yes, the marriage took place. It happened. No, they're not believed. You know why not? It's Chav L'Acherim. Because the Krovim become prohibited. That's what's called Chav L'Acherim. So it's like a Dos Bald doesn't work by Chav L'Acherim. Nisuin is not Chav L'Acherim. That's the technical explanation. Reb Chaim has a much more lumdish explanation of the same din, with the definition of Eid Kiyum, when you require what we call a very high level of das Tava Shabiyarva. It's even a higher level than the das required for other transactions. So therefore, you express this das only in the presence of two Eidim. Two Eidim aren't there, it's not considered a sufficiently high level of expression of das. Comes to Nisuin. Nisuin is not a major change as Kiddushin is. Nisuin, some Rishonim say, doesn't require a level of das at all. So some Rishonim say that if a man is Mekadesh a woman through her father under the age of 12, and then the father dies, and there never was a Nisuin, there could be Nisuin in that Torah, even if she's not 12 years old yet. She doesn't even have the normal, leave out a high level of das. She doesn't even have a regular level of das. Because they say that Nisuin is not a new change. She was married before, she's married now. Only Nisuin accomplishes that she's considered from now on an Eishes Ish B'Beis HaBaal instead of an Eishes Ish B'Beis HaAv. This change is a change in the Matzav, not a change in the Maisa or in the Das or the Rotzon, and therefore perhaps you only need such a high level of Das, and therefore for that reason you perhaps would not require Eide Kiyum either. Okay, these are some of the issues which we wanted to talk about, didn't get around to doing it. Now I'm ready to learn with you a Din Shulchan Aruch in Simen Lamates Sif Hei. It's a very important din, and we'll see how it affects our discussion as well. Keep this in mind, we're coming originally from Tosfos Daf Beis Amud Beis in Masechta Yevamos, also coming from the idea of Kiddushin al Tanai, which works according to the Ramah, if the brother is a mumar, and we'll see what the Shulchan Aruch says. This is Simen Lamates Sif Hei. Hamakadosh Isha Stam, Benim Tzoleh Echad Men Amumim Apostlen Benoshim, O nimtza aleh echem in the dorm shederach b'don lahak b'aleim harezu mekudeshes mi safek. Who says so? Rava in ksubas ayin gimel medbeis mekudeshes mi safek tana sefukim misapkule. And Rashi there explains al stamodem im efshi be'isha nadronis im lav. So too with respect to a mum, as far as Shmuel says over there. And that's the Gemara says enough ayin dalem and alf according to Rav in ksubas. Lo hoya koach lo tzio below get. It's a suffix. Fine. It's a suffix. Good. The question is, when does this suffix apply? So this you understand very well. Saying suffix is not going to be a very satisfactory conclusion for us. We're going to be trying to discuss shashatcha cases where she can go out without a get. Saying it's a suffix doesn't really help much. Understand? So there's a critical question of Tosfos and Ksubos I want to discuss with you. Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. This is where it gets very significant. Ayin Beis Amud Beis, the Mishnah says, Hamakadosh is the isha manas she'ena le'nedarim or ena le'mumin. So ena mekudeshes, ena mekudeshes. Kintza stam teta shelo b'ksuba, and as we said before, you may have to require a get. Tema l'ri ma'iria almanas amish is he made it tonight. I feel it b'stam nami. Why? Because it says in Ksubas earlier that nun vav nun zayin. Gashvinen shlo toch al arusa by sestral b'truma. There b'shem simpon. You may have learned this then somewhere in your halachic talmudic careers. Min a Torah and arusa eats truma. Midrabana not. The two reasons given, and one of them is b'shem simpon. We're failing on the father mum, which will undo the kedushin retroactively, and it'll turn out that this woman who's not an eshes kohen has eaten truma. You see, klar. Even without it tonight, this is the marriage could be undone. Why does our Mishnah only record that the marriage can be undone if there is a kiddushin? And they give a technical answer. The Rivash, quoted in the Shita Mekubetz on this very daf, is the following answer. Simple means, Rabosai, Mumin Gedolin. Mumin Gedolin. Mumin Gedolin, how do you define Mumin Gedolin? The mumim are so significant that they're included in the Mishnah later on of Ayin Zayin, the Elisha Kofin also Lahotzi. Any mum which rises to the level that you would force the husband to divorce her if the mum began after the marriage, if it's such a high level, if it existed before the marriage and one party didn't know about it, the Kiddushin is null and void. The case of the Mishnah, the husband didn't know about it. Obviously, the case in the Mishnah over here is where it developed in the husband. And you force the husband because the wife is suffering. But any mum, which is so strong that if the wife suffers from it, you force the husband who has it to divorce her. So fakert, if the woman had it and the man didn't know about it and she had it before the kiddushin, we say the kiddushin is null and void. That's what's called a mum godol. That's simple. However, the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis and Mid Beis is not discussing such high level of mumim. Kol ha-mumim ha-poslim be-kohanim, poslim be-noshim. Who can think of the most, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings over here. There's probably somebody in this room who, according to some Rishonim, has a mum be-kohanim. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Lefty. A lefty, according to one Dan Tosis, is a mum be-kohanim. Yeah? So I'm saying, we don't consider a lefty to be a mum at all. Who's a lefty here? I figure I'm not going to insult anybody, chas v'shal. But when you talk about tefillin, they talk about this whole pilpul. It's not considered to be a kohen, so it's not relevant to that issue. But in any event, so there's a fairly low-level mumim, some of which we would consider to be almost innocuous. This is the yisod of the Rivosh. Does Tosfos argue? So many poskim say that Tosfos doesn't argue. They accept this distinction. They just have, for technical reasons, they give different answers. This is very, very important. Very important. And this is what the Beis Halevi says, according to Rava, that Rava says that we have a Suffolk Kiddushin, right? We saw it before. Suffolk Mekudeshes. Suffolk Eina Mekudeshes. That's only the case of what? Of these low-level mumim. But in a high-level mum, then forget about it. Then for sure, Rava would say a get is not required. However, at the last moment, the Beis Halevi, how should we say, snatches defeat from the hands of victory when he says that although this should be true, and it is true according to Rava, but Rabba and Rav Chista argue on Rava, Rabba Osai, Rabba and Rav Chista argue on Rava and say that you require a get mid the Rabbanan, not suffering. Rava holds a suffix deraisa. They're saying it's a vare de rabbona. So since it's a machloikas or rishon, we pass like Rava or like Rabba Rav Chista, the Beis Halevi will require a gemed rabbonon, unless it's some other kind of a tzirif. And Rav Moshe disagrees in Simen Ayin Tes Anav Dalit. He says, no, if it's a mum godol, everyone agrees you do not require a get, even mid rabbona. This is the basis for everything we'll be discussing today, the possibility that there would be no requirement for a get. Now Rav Moshe and the Beis Halevi have also like a chiddush nifla v'noira, because as I mentioned on Thursday, nowhere in Shas does it ever say that a woman whose husband has a mum can, pardon the expression, file for kedusha tos and say that the kedusha was no marriage. The only cases in Shas are where the man finds the mum and the woman, not faker. And there's some poskim in fact say that the expression that we saw on Thursday briefly, tav lemesef tandum lemesef armalu, it's better for a woman to be married to anybody than to be married to nobody. It's so powerful that it indicates no matter what happens, the kedushin is at least a suffic kedushin or the rabbanadik kedushin, and a get is required. That's what some say. But many other poskim say it's not true. We don't find such a concept. I'm going to explain to you a little bit how far we can go with this. Oh. Anywhere where it says, anywhere in the whole Talmud Bavli, where it says that Tavla Mesav Tandu springs into action in a situation where there would be otherwise considered to be a mum? So that if you ask the average person, will say yes. It's a Gemara in the Sechta Ksubis, that Ayin Hey, Omer Aleph, there the Gemara seems to go with this Mahalach of Tav Lemesav Tandu, and Lemesav Armalu, in the complex case of an Isha Chashuva, or an Isha who is not Chashuva. I'll read you the Gemara over here. Isha Adam Choshev Askina, Lo Nichole Le'itzer Bekreve. She, the woman, she's not worried about becoming prohibited to his relatives. Why? Tav Lemesav Tandem and Lemesav Armel. Now you have to understand very carefully to look in this Gemara. Ayin Ham and Aleph Masechtah Ksubos. The case in the Gemara is a remarkable case. You have to look carefully. People, not what always meets the eye. What's the case over there? You say as follows. What's the case? In this case, Rabbi Osai, there's no mum at all. There's not even a neder. You know why? Because the nedarim are undone. A chacham is matir a neder. L'mafreya. There are no nedarim. The only fear, Rabbi Osai, is there going to be future nedarim. Future nedarim. Only future nedarim, Rabbi Osai. So we said, do we say that the person would never want to get married in this kind of circumstance? Because of the possibility that there's going to be future nedarim, there's going to have to be a divorce, and there's going to have to be us in the krovim. So here tips the scale, the consideration of tav lemesav tandu lemesav amalu, that it's not an anan sadi. We can't say for sure that she wouldn't want to be married because she doesn't want to become asura to his relatives if he's an adam chasha. But there's no place in Shas, if I'm right, but there's a present mum, the Tav Lemesav Tandu Lemesav Armalu, would say, okay, now that the marriage is good. It's true, the Beis Shmuel says that. The Beis Shmuel in Siman Kuf Nundal Zivkot Tes, talking about a nichba, someone who has epileptic seizures, he throws in the concept of Tav Lemesav, even though it's considered a present mum. But nowhere in Shas is it found. Okay. So now I'll both say, is there any measuring rod, is there any barometer, any litmus test that we can know what's considered to be a mum gadol, and you know that we say that this clearly, no desire to be married. So in the Otar HaPoskim, and I'm bringing out, whipping out Otar HaPoskim, was a long discussion in Siman Lamed Tes. It's called Sifkoton Lamed Beis. Now Sifkoton Lamed Beis in this print starts on page 203. And ends, keeps going. It ends on page 238. What I just said? That's 35 pages, just one sifkot. It's subdivided into what we'll call 29 osios. Obviously, we can spend the whole week just chasming this, which we're not going to do, but today we're going to devote ourselves to try to review much of what it says in this sifkot. And the best way to cover some ground is to skip. So we'll skip the first 8 osios and start in os tes. Again, this is an opportunity to chazer over. You can see things in this beautiful sefer called Otar HaPoskim. So here in os tes, the following case, a woman has an anatomical defect. And it's impossible to have via. It's all closed up. There's nothing there. So what happens in such a terrible circumstance? So the poskim say over here, This is even less than an Islandus. An Islandus is Ruah Lebi'ah. This is absolutely not even Ruah Lebi'ah. How do we know it's worse? He quotes a Ran. The Ran, Rabosai, is found in, again, Masechta Ksuvos. So I ask you to see a Gemara Ksuvos. Bring it today if you can. The discussion here on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. Gemara says as follows. There are some women, Yotus below Ksuvos, going Alveras Aldas V'chave Roseha, Ein Lem Tosefes. The Koshkin Mana Messiah, but other women have Tosefes. Well, the Gemara is commenting on the Ma'enes Shnei of Islandus. This is the Gemara, no Ksuba you don't have. Tosefes you do have. Remarkable. Tosefes you do have. Why? Zok Rashi. The Matana Bial Meyoiv La Bechibas Bia. And Ma'enes Shnei of Islandus is the Chibas Bia. So there is a Tosefes. So it'll be important to know what's the din of Tosefes with respect to this case of the woman who cannot be a whatsoever. Since Shulchan Aruch has quoted beforeish, Simon Kuf Yud Zayin Sif Beis, there is no Tosefes. There's no Tosefes. So therefore you see that it's even, so it's Eina Mekudeshes. If you didn't know about it, Eina Mekudeshes, it's less than an islandess. What if she became healed? There's another machlokas over here. Because Tosfos says, Rabosa here in Ksubis, on the Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Tosfos wants to know, what if someone is healed? Tosfos says, well, the healing process doesn't really work completely. Why not? I read the Lashon of the Tosfos. Tosfos says, Af atash la'achash in esrapes, hinim eses be'enav, kishezocher shahoyu ba'mumin. Remarkable psychological insight that a man wants his wife to be, in his eyes, perfect. Let me tell you in advance, Rabosa, your wife is not going to be perfect. But in your eyes, she should be perfect. Perfect physically and perfect every other way. That's what a husband wants, a wife should be perfect. So if he has this image in his mind of these women, even though they were healed, in his mind, she's the nemesis be'enav. This is something which is such a serious matter psychologically, they may not be able to get over it. And this is a remarkable Tosfos. And some say, therefore, that the same thing applies, as same as Tosfos said in the case of a regular mum with a Tanai, as the case of the Gemara, might apply to a mum gadol without a Tanai. And some disagree. That's dispute number one. Dispute number two, what happens if he doesn't protest immediately? What's called shasak ol v'sov tzavach. There are those who say the fact that he didn't protest immediately means they certainly married. And some say no. It depends in the case of a choshen mishpat, in the case of you buy an object, did you utilize the object? So similarly over here, it may depend if there was a beer after he discovered the moon. Okay, just giving you some of the highlights. What happens, Rav Osai, in the case of an individual who does what's called over here divrei shtus? This is osyud. Divrei shtus. Okay. Achar achupa roa bo. Remember all the cases of the shtum, the problems with her. Divrei shtus. She does simply silly things. She's not a shota gemura. She's a shota gemura, then there's no kiddushin, of course, because she's not capable of getting married. But she does divrei shtus. What happens? It's a mum that most people are makbid, and therefore ain't a mekudeshes. Why? Since it's obviously something which is not always manifest. V'horai, he married her and didn't even know about it. It's not what we call a mum goloi. Had it been a mum goloi, we could argue, as we mentioned on Thursday, that they're married because had he cared enough about it, he would have done a check. You can't check because it's not always visible. It's not always manifest. This is what's found in the Tosefta called Mishumemis. Oh. And here this is also an Osyud. The claim is made that Tosfos and Ksubos and Bezim and Bez agrees with the Rivash. Agrees with the Rivash. Only thing is, these Mumim Gedolim, of which the Rivash speaks and says, that's called Simpon, well, they're not so common. they're not so common, and they wouldn't have made a gzera that the Eishes Kohen should not eat truma because of something which is not common. Everything has a source. There's a source for this over here as well. It's a Tosfos again in Ksubas. Ksubas is a Keseder relates to our sugya. Tosfos here in Ksubas on Daf Nun Chesam and Aleph. Tosfos talks about something which is uncommon, and if it's uncommon, it's not enough of a reason to make a chashash not to eat truma. Tosfos Hano Kolislu and Daf Nun Ches. But in principle, the argument is made. Tosfos agrees with the Rivash. The Beis Halevi says so. The Beis Halevi says so. Of course, if he has beer with her after he discovers the moon, we apply the principle of Ein Adam Osa Biloso Bilas Snus. However, in the case in which there was no beer after he discovered it, perhaps we should suggest that the marriage is no marriage. What about Rav Osai? We mentioned this already on Thursday again. A man marries a woman. It turns out, this is a Pella, it turns out that he's a Kohen, and he knew that she had been married before, and she told him, my first husband died. First husband dies, and our mother's mutter to a Kohen. She lied through her teeth. She was really a Grusha. So the Pesach Shuvah in Oz Dal calls another Behuda, and says an amazing din. Chai ve'lavin shlohikibo mikudeshes. Why? It's again based on Iran. The Iran is somewhat incredible. I read you the Chazanish on Thursday, his very lyrical, almost poetic rendition of what the Iran is in effect saying over here in the sugya on Daf Kuf Aleph. The question is, how can it be? How is it possible that a man would want to marry a woman who has this, who's Asurla? Well, you know, people are funny. You know, a mum and a neder, this he can't stand. But the fact that she's Asura in Halacha, you know, is Yetzirah gets the best of him. And maybe he'll in fact want to stay married to her, notwithstanding the fact that there is a problem. So the Ran says over here as follows. The Ran says, there is a disclosure obligation that a woman has. The woman is required to disclose certain chesronos that she has. She has to disclose certain chesronos. Yet other chesronos, apparently, she's not really required to disclose. The Ran says over here. Ilu almana lekohen gadol, afilu lo hikir ba tzricha get. Why? She didn't have to disclose it to him, because she figures, you know what, he probably knows about it, but I'm so beautiful, he wants to marry me anyway. But what the Ran calls over here, efsha shi arev olav amekach. I'm so sweet to him, I'm so beautiful and attractive to him, that he's willing to overlook the isur that he has as a kohen gadol to marry and Almona, but this is in contrast, Rav Osai, to the case of an islamist. There is a disclosure obligation. A disclosure obligation. This is something which is remarkable. We might have said differently because we're such we like to be idealists. Lashon is as follows. If it's an islandist, lo hoya hadava mutalale, why? Shere lo hoya si odasvika. A woman doesn't always know that she's an islandist. She doesn't always know. And similarly, in the case of a chai v'lavin, she's not required to disclose it, why not? The sabri, the she'efsha, she'yarev, olava mecha. Even though it's an isim b'dava. As opposed to mumun and nadarim, she'enonim nefayis behen. There's a disclosure obligation, and the mere fact that she didn't disclose that she was required to disclose makes the marriage null and void. We spoke of this at some length in other cases. When is a disclosure obligation? Failure to disclose itself can create a kiddushei tos. That's what it says. Okay? This is something which is quite remarkable. Now, what happens if she's from a faraway place and there's no chazaka what she is, and he didn't check anything out. He didn't ask. Obviously, Arav Olav HaMekach. However, some Achronim say, what is a certain presumption? She's not from out of town. She's from in town. She's from in town. And there's a certain presumption, and she didn't disclose. It's conceivable, it's possible, that the marriage is null and void. Null and void. It's interesting, there is a Rashi. The Rashi, again, I'm reading it from Ksubas, because this is such an important sugya for us. Rashi over here in Masechta Ksubas on Daf Kuf Aleph Omid Beis, Rashi says as follows, Becheskas she came, Shehodi also Shehi Almona, Becheskas she'eno came, Shehit also, V'omolo, Lonis Kadashti, Lodo Me'olam. In other words, she's actually fooling him. So if she's fooling him, then we say that the marriage is an invalid marriage. However, it's possible to say, as I'm not going to say, that if, for example, she's well known as a psula in town, she's a cheskas kashrus, everyone knows she comes from a frum home, etc., 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 and she doesn't tell him differently, she's unfortunately not a psula, doesn't tell him, she could be construed as fooling him. If she's from out of town, no one knows her past, but she says nothing, that's not fooling him. We give an extreme example. She's a late Balas Tshuva, so it's almost obvious that she's not a Basula. But she's just from out of town. He didn't check up on it, so she's not fooling anybody. But if she's a frum woman, and everyone assumes she's a Basula, and she's really not, it's almost as if she lied explicitly to him. According to certain poskim, is make render the Kiddushin to be null and void. A possibility based upon this Rashi. Comes up Chaim Oizer in Siman Chav Zayin with the following situation. She is a divorced woman, okay? And she has a shidduch. And she asked him, my friend, are you a Kohen? And he says, no. Okay? They get married. Right away she finds out the next day, he is a Kohen. He mamish lied through his teeth. She was beautiful. Arav Olav HaMekach, a real case. He's a so-called from people. But you know, Yetzirah is strong. We spoke about it in some different contexts there. Yetzirah is very strong. Right? So she's blonde and beautiful. So he wants to, but she screams, I'm a from woman. I don't want to be married to a Kohen. I'm a Grusha. He told me he wasn't a Kohen. So the Ran seems to agree in this kind of a case where he fooled her explicitly. There's no need for a get. And you do not apply the principle of Tav L'Meisav. Why? What kind of L'Meisav? She's not allowed to live with him. And you force him to divorce her, right? You force him to divorce her. But it could be, Rabbi Osai, if you would force him to divorce her, in this particular case, you wouldn't need a get at all. In other words, it depends who's fooling whom. It's all based on the Svara of the Noda B'Yehuda. He's mentioned the following Svara, Rabbi Osai, that if she fooled him, so he divorces her. Okay. He has what we call an exit strategy. He always give a get. So it's not true. He didn't lose that much. So the Kiddushin is valid. But, Rabbi Osai, if he fools her, then she has no exit strategy, because who says that the Beis Din will actually force him and that she can run away from the Beis Din and she can be an aguna for life and it's a disaster. So in this kind of a situation, we could argue that the marriage is no marriage from the very beginning. What's the basis for it? Basis is for the first one to say we thought was the Maharshal in his Chochma Shlomo, again here in Tzubis, on the Ayin Hay, where the Maharshal says exactly this Svara. Okay. The Gemara distinguishes initially, based upon, we mentioned before, on the Ayin Hay, Tav L'Meisav, which is a nicety, Tav L'Meisav. Frank the Maharshal have a much more fundamental difference. What do you have to say for the prohibition to marry his relatives? Yeah. Typically, Shehu Megarsheno, Shere Abal Eino Megarish Elder Tzono. So it's a much, much more fundamental reason why it's Kiddush HaTos on that side. Because she's going to get stuck. This is a smell which is already found in the Chochma Shlomo, the Maharshal. Here, the first piece in Ksubas, Daf Ayin Hey, Amud Aleph. And many poskim say this la halacha. Say this la halacha. Oh, what about in Adam also bilaso bilas znus? No, we presume we don't say it in this kind of a situation. That's what the poskim say. Oh, so now what's the lumdus? Yes, it's true that a distinction between, if you recall the sugya we spoke about on Thursday, that's a sugya where there's some kind of a condition in effect, either explicit condition or an effective condition, that if the person dies and the brother says a mukashkin or the brother's a mumar, so then there's a discussion, you know, back and forth. Maybe it's an ansade, there's no an ansade, as the case may be. Tosis suggests that once Nisus is shining, so the Beis Halevi says that's in a situation of a condition, or the equivalent of a condition. So then we say, you know what? A condition, in most conditions, we apply the principle of Ein Adam Osa Bilasa Bilas Nos. The exception being, as we mentioned on Thursday, this unique condition where it can only be fulfilled after his death. And then it's not really considered Znus, I told you, because at the time it was Bishayat, that was Derek, Ishus, etc. But other than that, he wouldn't want to be involved in a Bias Znus. That's by a Tanai, or an implicit Tanai. When it comes to a Tos, a mistake based on a false pretense, there the Beis Halevi says, no distinction is drawn between Kiddushin, Erisin, and Nisuin. In all situations, we say that it is, they're not married. It's true that there's some poskim will say we never say with respect to a woman because tav lemesav, tav lemesav amalu. No, we say, as I mentioned before, that's only true by mumim, small mumim that are possible to kohanim. I thought even a bigger chiddush when there's no real mumim at that very moment in time. But this case may be. When it comes to the mumim gedolim at kofen also the hotzi, if he fooled her, many poskim say that they're not married. They're not married. And it has to be that way, they say. Why? Because if she fooled him, excuse me, if in a situation in which the mum emerged and only started after the marriage, so then we force him to divorce her. What? Why? Because obviously she's a virtuous woman. She just can't handle it. Who said? Maybe it's an excuse, gentlemen. What a great excuse. She's been pining away for a boyfriend for quite a few years already, but you know, she's a virtuous woman. She's not going to be she conquers the eight hours. She only has eyes for her husband. She tries to close off the eyes for this boyfriend who's around the block. Okay? Now her husband drops shin. Oh, shin. I go to my local toenet, and she says to me, oh, shin, oh, no problem. Just say that you can't handle it, and I'm going to force him to divorce you. So they force the divorce, and then she goes married to boyfriend. If she wouldn't be for the boyfriend, she'd be very happy. She'd manage with her mukashkin husband. So the fact that we don't say that indicates that almost no woman, I never said, a typical average woman is not able to live with a husband who has shkin. And therefore, on this basis, we say you force him to divorce her. That same basis should lead to the conclusion that if he had shchin before the kiddush be hidden from her, I gave that funny example on Thursday, then the marriage is absolutely no marriage. And the same should be true, Rabbi Osai, to a man who is impotent, is unable to have a ma'isa bia. The Gemara has an expression, hakol yodin, kala, lama, nichlas al chuppa. We all know, in order to have a ma'isa bia, and if he can't do it, because he's sick, unfortunately, and there's no cure for it, then we suggest that the marriage is simply no marriage. Tav lemesav tandu, according to Rashi, is an ish koldu. He's not even a koldu. He's not a man in the sense that he can do whatever what a man is able to do normally on a physical basis. That's it.
Didn't we also say that there was maybe like pleasure with the goof?
Right. Some poskim disagree. Some poskim say, yes, you will force him to divorce her, but not that she doesn't require a get. Why not? After all, they said it's physical contact. You can hug her, you can kiss her, you can lie with her, and you know, or chas v'chalila, as we saw them later on, she can attribute any children she has to this guy, even though he can't have any children at this rate. But in her mind, some say that they are married. However, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, Paskins and Ein Yitzchak, no. For the same reason, if indeed there's this possibility that she really would be, that she'd really be willing to stay with him, then how can we force, how can we force him to divorce her? The same logic again. The fact that we force him to divorce indicates that it's most women, again, never say most women, we'll see how to define most, that most women couldn't handle this. And therefore, if the condition pre-exists to the marriage, we say that they're not married to begin with. Finish. It's only a majority, most women. So maybe what Yitzchak Elchanan means, and Yitzchak, it's yes, it's most women in abstract. When she screams, I can't handle this kind of a marriage, when I can't be intimate with my husband in that sense, then we assume she's part of the majority, and we say that the marriage is no marriage from the beginning. That's what he passes. Rav Moshe passes the same way in his famous tshuva, in Chelek Aleph Simon Ayin Tes. He quotes the expression of Yitzchak Elchanan, Rov means that a miyut is eino motzui klal, that the percentage of women who would be willing to stay married to a man who cannot do a ma'isabia, why would they want to do it? Either for other physical contact or he'll pay the bills. That's not pays the bills. It's not a small thing, right? Afal pikein, that's what marriage, not what marriage is all about. And there was a very, very small percentage of people. It's even less than the mukashchin. And even Rabbeinu Tam, according to one version we saw in the Mukah Yosef, who requires a get by an islandess, that's only because the chesaron is in her. Chesaron is in her, so you can always divorce, so it's a big deal. When the chesaron is in him, impossible, we don't say that. This is the sort of Rav Moshe, which is, again, it's the Beis HaLevi, said the whole exact Shtikl Torah, except they parted ways at the last step. The very last minute, the Beis HaLevi pulled back and said, okay, we cannot say that she's married midoraisa for sure, but maybe there's a Safek Kiddushin, or maybe there's a Kiddushin with the Rabbanan, Rabban and Rabbi Rav Chisdok respectively, and therefore you require a get with the Rabbanan, and that's some other tziruf. And there are Moshe parted ways and says, no, in the Mum Gadol Ma'od like this, there's no need for a get whatsoever, not midoraisa and not mid the Rabbanan. Okay, this is what Moshe said, and in the Oaths of Poskim, quotes Rav Cheskel Abramsky, Zatzal, from the Badatz in London, said something very, very similar. There was a problem, though, with the Tosfos. I want to show you the Tosfos. We haven't really looked inside it much today. Look in Tosfos Samach Hei Amud Beis. Samach Hei Amud Beis in Masechta Yevamos. We have a little bit Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebalpeh. The Tosfos over here says, according to the Ritzvah, everyone see? It's the end of the last 10 narrow lines. I am Samach Hei Amud Beis. Isha Shoresa Toenas Al Ba'ala Ki Ein La'ish Gvur Roso. Gvura sanoshim is a euphemism for the ability to have a do a ma'isabiyah. Isha yatoin ki hoyolo gvura sanoshim. Yeah, I can do it. Achi boetas, she kicks me. V'goremes shen yochel libo. I want to get close. She keeps kicking me away. This is the ultimate. He says, she says, the ultimate, right? The lo mehemna. She's not believed because she wants a ksuma. V'heicha shahoda habal. Wait a minute! It's enough in the Tosfos, Rabbi Osai, that even though he cannot do a ma'aseh bia, there's a requirement for a get. Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's enough in the Tosfos against Rabbi Moshe and against all the poskim. The answer has to be, as the Ein Yitzchak says, Rabbi Moshe quotes him, that we're referring to a case where this weakness of not being able to have a ma'aseh bia, we cannot prove that it existed before the Kiddushin. So maybe the weakness took effect after the Kiddushin, which is possible. Remember, in the olden years, there was a year between one and the other. I, in the time of the Ritzvah, they didn't have this year, presumably. Well, maybe there was, maybe it is, that. That's what the Ein Yitzchak says pshat in this Tosfos. There's no other way out of this Tosfos. It's a serious problem. The Ramsey gets out by saying, we just don't believe her, but if we knew it was true, then there'd be no Kiddushin. And I wanted to suggest maybe it's a case where she actually knew about it in advance. He told her. There are three different ways to get out of this line in Tosfos. Either this shortcoming in Bia happened after the Kiddushin, or she knew about it, or she's not believed, but in principle, it would be Kiddushei Tos. Rav Henkin says no, even if they both agree, she's not believed, because it's Cheskes Eishes Ish, and you'd kill based upon it, and she's only believed to the extent to say that he has to give her a get. How is he? Make up your mind. Well, there it's enough to demonstrate it from now going forward. No need to go back retroactively. And furthermore, since the Chazal Matakan that she's believed to the extent that he's forced to give her a get, even if she's lying, the get is kosher, because he gave the get al pi takonas Chazal. Okay, that's the opinion of Rav Henkin and others. But again, Rav Moshe and Rav Yitzchak Chanan and Rav Chaskel Abramsky and in principle the Beis Halevi all say there could be Kedushei Tos and a Mum Godol in the man. What's a Mum Godol in the man? So we have a couple of cases. Mukashchin, a case which would be forced a divorce fundamentally if he had it afterwards. Mukashchin, he can't do what my Sabia, things of this nature. Okay. There is a problem, Rav Osai, with the Mishnah, again, in the Sechta Ksubis, and that's an Ayin Zayin, Amun Aleph. That's the Mishnah we made reference to earlier, where you force a divorce, an Ayin Zayin, Amun Aleph. What does the Mishnah say on Ayin Zayin, Amun Aleph? It's over here, Amu Chachamim, the whole people, Mekabeles hi al karcha, so, in these kinds of cases, she receives a get. Okay? Fine. So the question is, in the Reisha, you're forced to get. We're talking about a case where she presumably didn't know about it. Because the Ran says, that in the Reisha, she didn't know about it. So why do you need a get? Kiddushei Tos. That's the kasha. So the Ultra Poskin quotes an Evan Yakara, who says, Medayik beautifully the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Bein shahoyu wachalo nisu, u bein mishen nisu. What word is used in the Mishnah? Nisu, as opposed to what, Rav Osai? It's kashu. Because in this case, it happened before the Nisuin, but after the Kiddushin. That's why a get will be required. But if it happened before the Kiddushin, presumably a get would not be required at all. Let's discuss a little bit further some of the other issues of Kiddushei Tos. Rav Moshe is his famous shuvah, the next shuvah, Simon Pei, about a man who was a shaita. He demonstrated signs of insanity, psychosis, which he was subsequently hospitalized. Rav Moshe Paskins is this kind of a case that the marriage is absolutely null and void. Where did he get it from? Take a look at the Gemara. Again, Yevamos. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Please take a look. I'm trying to show whatever I can. This is half the shiur from Subas. Whatever I can show, I want to show you. Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Rav Osai. The Gemara is an important expression. The Gemara says in the Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis that there's no takonas drabonon for kedusha by a shota. The first very wide line at the bottom, the ein adam dar im nachash bekvifa achas. You can't live that way. It's an expression. What's kvifa, says Rashi? Besof kup achas, in one box. But when you get married, you're in a box. I don't care if you have a studio apartment or a 10-room house. You're in a box with your wife. So it's impossible to live with such an individual. Rav Moshe quotes that Gemara, and therefore, in such cases, they never attack on Kiddushin for a Shota in the first place. That's a Mefurash Gemara here on the Kuv Yud Beis Amud Beis. It's Ein Ra'ah L'Ishus. In such a comparable case, in Ksubas Ayin Zayin, you would force him to divorce her. As the Gemara has a similar expression of Ein Adam Dorim En Nachash B'Kvifa Achas. Anaf Ayin Zayin and Aleph, the next to the last medium-sized line, the same expression. So the two, Rav Moshe makes a hekesh. Here the same expression, there the same expression. In all these cases, wherever you would rise to the level, you'd force him into divorce her. If the condition pre-existed the marriage is absolutely no marriage. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Nun Dalet Tzifek, one of the Tshuvos HaRosh. There it says, and I'll give you the Lashon, Mishtata Mideyom, and you can't deal with him, and she's afraid he's going to kill her in his rage. So there we say, not only do we not say that they're not married, we don't even force them to divorce her. Not going to be, as everybody should know. There he's perfectly sane. The word mishtata doesn't mean he's insane. It means he conducts himself as if he's insane. You know why? He's terrorizing his wife. There are too many husbands that actually do this. I kid you not. It sounds crazy for young men in this room to be telling these stories. They have absolutely controlling husbands, control freaks. And they'll threaten and they're acting like idiots. But it's kim mishtata. It's not really mishtata. He's a completely sane. He's just bullying her, if I use that expression. And then Nebuch, the marriage is a marriage because he can, because it's free choice, free will. He can easily turn over, easily. He can turn over a new leaf and become a model husband. He has to overcome his Yetzer Haras to be a control freak. But he knows what he's doing. As opposed to someone who doesn't know what he's doing, it's simply a matter of psychiatric disease. Then Rav Moshe claims the marriage is absolutely no marriage. Finished. Is there another case? Yes. What happens when he's in the church? So we have two tshuvas so far. Ayin Tes and Pei. Impotent and psychotic. What if he's in the church? Slight fact that he neglected to tell it. He's a practicing Christian. Small detail. It wasn't on his resume. And the shotgun didn't know about it. Small detail. He goes every Sunday to the church. Passes Rav Moshe, the marriage is no marriage. Because at least in those days, a man goes to the church is considered such an abomination to any individual who has any Yiddishkeit in her. It's considered to be a no marriage. Now, the Noda Behuda says, no, maybe he did tshuva. Can you imagine that? Maybe he did tshuva. I was in the church last Sunday. Got married on Tuesday. Last Sunday he was in the church. We have his membership roll. He signs in for the last 25 Sundays. Next Sunday, that's when she discovers it. Next Sunday, Shabbos comes to shul. Yeah, puts on a shtreimel. I don't know what this comes to shul. I don't know, his garden. Yeah. And Sunday, I have to, honey, I'll see you later. Where you go? I'm going to the church. What? What'd you say? You don't know? No, the shotgun didn't tell you? I'm a practicing Christian. I have my card. I've been to go. I have perfect attendance for the last 3 years. She says, get me out of it. No, he did tshuva. He did tshuva. When did he do tshuva? Last Sunday afternoon, he did tshuva. For a week, he did tshuva. Bahurai went to shul on the day of his wedding, and he was a shabbat bro. Shabbat, he got another mafter. He must have done tshuva. I'm going to say, come on, no, the Yehuda, please. He's obviously putting it on just to, he never did tshuva. You follow the pattern of his behavior as it was before, and those of you who remember came up with the Gavis question. The tshuva, that minute by minute in the mikvah, they quote this Noda Behuda. It's a very, very shred. The Sri Deish says it's impossible to even imagine such a thing. Quotes to Rashi in Masechta of Avodah Zarah, Yitzhakim and Aleph, Kol Bo'el Lo Yishuvun. Those who go to the church, as a rule, they don't come back. So at the moment that he was a church member, at the moment of the wedding, the assumption is he'll never come back. And if he does at the end of the day do tshuva, to paraphrase the Gemara Rabosa that we saw together on Thursday, a very, very critical Gemara, where the Gemara is concerned about situations in which a person, quote unquote, gets better. So the Gemara's lashon over here, on the first wide line is Hamachem and Alf, Hashtahu Debriyas. It's a new development. The person was sick and now became healthy. The person was Christian and now became Jewish. Not the Pshat, the person at the time of your marriage was not a Christian. It's not a Kiddush Etos. So writes the Sri Leish very, very convincingly. What if she's not from? She's not from either. So some poskim say she requires a get. She's no big tzedekes either. Why should the church bother her? Others say, no, come on. There was this strong cultural streak in Klal Yisrael. Even the world people weren't Shomer Shabbos, weren't Shomer Kashrus, but the church, that was like beyond the pale. Even intermarriage was beyond the pale before even you go to the church. Until 50, 60 years ago, where there was a very small percentage of intermarriage then, single digits. And it was considered an anathema, a shibafim, and all that. You're growing up in a world, but unfortunately, there's 50% intermarriage in America. The whole world changed in the last couple of generations. But when these tshuvas were being written, so even intermarriage was beyond the pale. Kavachom of the church. Now the intermarriage is not beyond the pale. I don't know what about the church. I think it still is, no? Rabbi said, would you say the average non-firm person would still be recoiled if someone's actually a regular churchgoer? What would you say? Yes or no?
Here he's pretending to be a
yid. Right. So the lying aspect is always...
Maybe she knows that he's a church.
Right. Manager. You're right. We have to get into the lying factor, which is also a very significant factor. Finally, we're getting to the very end of this long Otzer Aposkim, the last two Osios, Chav Ches and Chav Tes. So here, I'm skipping all these pages, Chav Ches, he has the following case. After she marries him, it's determined, listen to this, he's reshes haposhim socharei hanoshim. He deals with selling women. I assume he's probably a prostitution ring or something. I don't mean selling women. I mean selling them to be nannies. I don't think that's what they're being sold for. So, he's one of those lowlifes with a capital, two capital L's, right? And they put him in jail. Some say you don't need to get the demucha. She never would have married him. And if it turns out he's a Belial, his want, his practice is to marry women and fool them. And then what does he do? He'll be happy to give a get for a mere $1 million price tag. Nope, I'll give you a get. Just give me $1 million. That's how he goes. He's a con man. So it's determined, the con man, some posts can say, the marriage is absolutely no marriage. And there's no Tav Lames of Tandu. What about, because he's married to somebody else already. Then with the first girl who fell in, she's a problem. But the second one, he hasn't given a get to the first one yet. You can't say Tal Demesa, the best is going to force him to accept because of our Rabbeinu Gershom. Yes?
Is the reason why it's not considered a marriage strictly because of that he was already married to someone else before? I remember we had a case earlier when Rabbi were dealing with this idea that was Halacha L'Maisa, where there was, and Rabbi said that we didn't just, we were not just about the Kiddush.
We'll come to that case in a minute. Let's first discuss the case which is printed in Otzer Aposkim. So yes, he says two reasons why. Number one, that the guy is such a con man. And number two, don't say Tav L'Mesa, because since he conned somebody else already, he hasn't given her again. So best of all, let her stay with this most recent victim of his con artistry. And therefore, at least for the second one, an additional reason why the get is not even required. What happens if he says, he gives his ID, I am the famous Shmerel from Yehupitz. Oh, Shmerel from Yehupitz, everyone knows his reputation, about Chesed, about Tavat Chochem. Turns out, he's not Shmerel, he's not Yehupitz, he's a false identity. So the poskim say, that marriage is no marriage. It's like Rochel v'nimtzus Leah. It's a marriage, the marriage is no marriage. It's simply a false identity. It's a tshuvas maimini. In Isha Simon Gimel, someone was sent to marry Reuven, and he said, Ariat Mekudesh is Li. And she thought that by putting out a finger, she's marrying Reuven. She's not mekudeshes to the shliach. Here too, the husband is not quote-unquote Reuven. He says, there's a different guy masked with a false identity. What do you call it? Identity theft. It's identity theft. They're not married. Finally, in Os Chav Tes, she finds out that he's previously married. Presently. He's presently married to another woman. You don't say Tav L'Mesav, because after all, she doesn't want a co-wife. Never entered her mind. It's going to over in Rechen Rebbe Nugershim. And then he throws in another amazing factor. I can't get over this factor. Look what he writes over here. Tav L'Mesav? Nah. Look, I'm going to give you quotation marks. This is what he says. Behold, when do you say, Bechol du Nichola, Haynu Tav HaMishim, Dechol Sheshet, Shalot Timtza, Yodol Hi Nasei? Why? Remember Tavi the Melech, the fiddler on the roof? Or Mishim Chesaron Yofi, she's not pretty. Or Mishim Kiss, she has no money. And therefore, all right, nope, she'll settle. What does it say there? Be glad you have a man. Somebody besides Abakias in the lyrics over there from when I was a child. A match, a man, whatever it is. My Bakias is a little bit lacking. That's what I recall. No family, no dowry, no money, no something. I'd be glad you have a man. Sazam in Sprach, that I recall. Okay? Okay? You're not going to be able to find. She'll tisag and she'll be single forever. But our case, she's your fast toar. Yeah. And her father is wealthy. Even the chosin and harbi, everyone wants to marry her. And she fell into this bum who's already married to some other woman at the same time. What are you kidding? So what do you see from this, Rabosai? A tavla meis of tandu depends, at least to some extent, on subjective criteria. Has to be that way. There has to be some measure of subjectivity, something. For example, the ultimate chesaron, we said, the man cannot do a maisa bia. Okay? So if he's 23 and she's 22, and they get married, and he can't do a maisa bia, and he went to all the urologists and all the doctors, and nothing they could do for him. She said, I want to marry this guy. Just add a few decades. Instead of 22 and 23, say it's the second marriage, she's 82 and he's 83. Girl, they got married, very nice. Come home, ain't looking for us an usher. She said, I never would have married you. Yeah, marry a man who can't do a mice of beer. Say that, what are you, crazy? I'm 83 years old. You know how old I was. Not every 83-year-old is capable of a mice of beer. What are you kidding me? So that can't be Kiddush Shetos. That's ridiculous, okay? It's ridiculous. So here's to it, there's some subjectivity built in. What about the case that we had, which I want to discuss momentarily? This case is about almost 10 years old. She was a quote based Yaakov girl, and she married a quote Kerlnik, and it turned out that he was hanging out with the Zionists from before the marriage and continued to do it after the marriage. That was that case. That was the case went back to how many years ago was that? That is now 9 years ago. Then I had my other case, which goes back 7 years ago, where the guy was hanging out with men in the gay bar. All these kind of crazy things. That's the fourth case, I will say, of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe had four cases where he considered to be no kiddushin. Either he was impotent, or there was psychiatric problems, or he was in the church, or he was a homosexual, practicing homosexexual. So no woman would ever want to be with a man whose sexual preference is for men. Who'd want to be involved in such a situation? Not the Aveira as such. No one would want to get involved in such a situation. Okay, fine. This is where Rav Moshe has. So now, Rabosai, I want to discuss these recent cases. And then I'll come back. I hope we have a few minutes left to discuss the disclosure obligations. I have a lot to talk about, and we only have less than half an hour to finish, but we'll do the best we can. Okay. So now let's review some of those unusual cases that we were dealing with that I would just refer to. Okay. These cases are extreme cases, but unfortunately, as the Mefarshim say, truth is stranger than fiction. I actually lived through some of these cases. I want to give you some of the wisdom that I gleaned from some of these cases and as they apply to those cases and they apply to future cases. Okay. So in the first initial case, there were correspondences between myself and one of the great rabbanim from Yerushalayim who was trying to get this marriage annulled. At the end, I'll give you the end. I'll ruin the movie. Play the end before the beginning. The rabbanim were not maskim, and the family of the girl paid between $2 and $3 million to achieve a get. It was given in Switzerland. I guess they probably put the money straight into a Swiss account, you know, but we can't trace it. And according to the rabbi that I knew from Muncie, the most money ever paid for a get since Mamad Har Sinai, as far as we know. That was the sad end to the story. Baruch Hashem. The woman rebuilt herself, she remarried, and thank God, Shalom HaYisrael. And this guy, I guess, is laughing all the way to the back. I'm not sure where he is right now. Whatever the case may be. But what was the reason to somehow knock it out? So as far as those who say there can never, ever be a case of Kiddush HaTos for the woman and the man, the Masin to be a machlokus. The Or Zeruah says, quote from Rabbeinu Simcha, the case of the man, she didn't know about it, he was blind in both eyes. Remember, in those days, you can get Kiddusha without even seeing him. So she didn't know. So the Rabbeinu Simcha says, this marriage is null and void. A person wouldn't want to marry such an individual. The assumption is she never agreed to it. So the marriage is no marriage. The Rama seems to argue against Rabbeinu Simcha. And the most you can get is to force him to give a get. But you can never say there's no marriage with Tavla Mesav. The old story. Oh, so here the case where a guy is busy with Zoinus from his youth. Ad etzem hayom hazeh. That's the lashon. So this day, even after the marriage, he's thinking after marriage, has a wife who would need zonus. No, he's hooked on zonus. Okay, so this is not the first Jew who's ever been hooked on zonus. We never said before kedusha tos. Things are different now. Why? AIDS. The guy who's with zonus, his chance he's going to get AIDS, he's going to kill her, and there has to be kedusha tos. So we, if you recall, the question was a twofold question. One was a question of the facts. Who said that he has AIDS? As a matter of fact, we did the research. We found out that the percentage of men getting AIDS from women of ill repute is, some say, 1 in 1,000. Some say 1 in 10,000. Right? For each time they're together. So I mean, I have to add it up. But alpha pecane, it's still a very small percentage. More than that, there are medicines these days. If there are medicines, even if he is afflicted with AIDS, even he's not going to transmit the sickness to her. If he takes these medicines, it lowers the level of his antibodies. There's also the possibility of a condom. Not going into its general permissibility right now. But nonetheless, Rabbi Osai, it seems that since there's so many people who are living with partners who have AIDS with these precautions, it's very difficult to say that the marriage is an invalid marriage. The Rabbanim try to compare him to a man who is homosexual, Rabbi Moshe's tshuva. So too, if he's not, I'm using the following expression, I think it's not homosexual, but hypersexual. But the guy can't control himself, he's running around with Zionists all the time, the same as a homosexual person is considered to be disgusting to a wife, so to a hypersexual person. Unfortunately, the facts are different. We have, I'm going to go back to the various cases that we like to talk about, where men are just can't control themselves, and the woman stays by her man. Right? Very famous politicians in this country, world famous, have stayed by their man, notwithstanding his infidelity. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, there's more than one, but I'm saying, probably the most famous. Okay. The highest offices in the land. Okay, good. Enough said. I asked Dr. Pelkovitz, what about today that homosexuality has become more, I'm using the word accepted in certain circles, as compared to when Rav Moshe wrote his children. And Dr. Pelkovitz responded, as far as he knows, in the Frum community, the same kind of revulsion that the average woman would have exists even to this day. Okay. Now, next question. Even if you know there's a chesaron, she didn't leave right away. Rav Moshe requires that you leave immediately. Immediately. Okay. It could be to argue the only time she has to leave immediately if they're going to live together as man and wife. If there's no ma'isa bia, then she need not leave immediately. She is just there until she finds out the truth, so she's able to kick him out of the house, so she shouldn't lose the house in secular court. As long as she's not living with him, though, physically, there's room to consider it as if she's leaving him out. She already left him. She hasn't left the house. She has to leave the house. They're in a tug of war in court. That's considered as if she left right away. This, I believe, we can give examples. So Moshe Tshuva, she stayed in the house for 7 weeks. In that particular case, he was impotent. She hoped that she could get a cure. Some Tosis seems to say over here, in Samachayim at Beis, the same Tosis we saw before. I want to read you one amazing line. Samachayim at Beis, that line we saw. gives an interesting shir. It says, Im Himten Gimel Shanim. Next to the last line. 3 years. The Yamten Od Shanim. Wait another year. Afala Kishu Kosav Shana Limar Ainlo Lamar Listo Binyana. She shouldn't run away. Kirachme Shakai Merubin. So, okay. So, obviously, if she's going to lose her children, or lose her house, and they didn't sleep in the same bedroom, so we can consider it as if she left right away. I think at that point, I think it's absolutely correct. I think it's correct. Oh. Now, the Rabbanim was saying that a man who is involved with Zionists, we should apply the principle of kol bo'el lo yeshuvu. You can't wean yourself away from this aberrant behavior. That's what the suggestion was made. Is it really true? I don't think so. We'll come to it in a minute. The case, I'm going to go very quickly over the case came to me some 7 years ago where the man was homosexual. They saw pictures of him in a gay bar, and we have evidence that he had these tendencies from high school, that people just didn't want to share the shidduch, don't want to disclose it, Rahmanul Islam. So, unfortunately, we came to the conclusion that since he had an ability to correct himself, if you might use that expression, and to lead a normal, healthy life if he would have gone through proper therapies, again, people don't want to do it all the time, so we, on that basis, we thought that the marriage is a valid marriage. I mentioned Dr. Halperin in Yerushalayim was successful in 85% of the cases of those who wanted to actually change. Again, not everyone wants to change. So we can't say it's a kiddushei tos. Now, it's true that among those who have this homosexual tendency actively, the number of individuals who correct themselves is very, very small. Doesn't matter that you can do it if you want to, but you have to take the full percentage. And if we could apply the principle of kol bo'el lo yeshuvun. But this fellow that we were describing in my case of 7 years ago, there's no evidence whatsoever that he was actively homosexual before his marriage. And the experts tell me that among the youth, the high school kids, that are not actively homosexual, they have certain SSA, some call it homoerotic, some call it same-sex attraction. The majority of them will, to use the modern expression, straighten themselves out, either with or without therapy, and can live happily married lives when they are grown up and of marriageable age. And therefore, even one who sinned, if it wasn't compulsive, it was only an experiment. You know, little kids like to experiment with everything, whether it be drugs or homosexuality. They do an experiment, see how it is, you know. Try this, try vanilla ice cream, try chocolate ice cream, you know. And try all kinds of things. That's how kids do these things. Hashem Yirachem. Okay? That individual, he doesn't really enjoy it. There's a very good chance he can do tshuva, and etc., etc. So therefore, it's clear that since we didn't know he had sinned in his youth, that even the majority can correct themselves, so the marriage is a valid marriage. They got away with a couple of $100,000 in that case, but they got away with the cheap, relatively speaking. They took away a zero from the other case. Okay, you have to be grateful for everything. Okay, then I asked a psychologist who deals with these sexual addictions, you know, what happens? He told me that between 3 and 5 of Americans, period, come to be treated for sexual addiction. That's a pretty high percentage, if you ask me. And the estimate is that a total of 8 to 9% have it, only of which a minority are coming for treatments. Okay? Amazing. Of those who come, 75% are more than 25 years old. Before that, they do whatever they want. And they sin without even a cheshbon. And of those who come for treatment, 80% can wean themselves away from this terrible behavior. Those who don't come in, obviously you can't know exactly if they stop or don't stop. But the estimate is that most of them, in fact, do stop after the age of 25. So therefore you couldn't. In the case, the original case says Kiddushei Tos. No matter how bad it was, when he turned 25, he might have been able to wean himself away. Fine. Now I'm going to tell you the so far sad ending for the last case before I get to the disclosure. The borderline personality disorder that was trying to convince the Rabbanim to say it's a Kiddushei Tos based on the fact that you can't live as such a person. So far the Rabbanim in America have said yes. Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael have said no. For two reasons. One, how do you know that the diagnosis is correct? And how do you know that it can't be changed? And how do you know? And so they haven't been forthcoming. My psychiatrist says that the principles which we had here in the Gemara Ein Zayin, Ein and Kufi Beis, Ein Odom Dorim Noshim Mishbekfifa, certainly applies to borderline personality disorder because it's in the system, and even if it's right now it's dormant and latent, it comes out now and then. It's impossible to live with such a person. It's this case I dealt with. She ran away 8 months pregnant or something. She was impossible. She was afraid for her life. We said a chiddush on Thursday that even if when you married this person, there was no symptoms, never in his life, but if the psychiatrist can say with this diagnosis that it was there from before and it would have to come out, it was like an islandess at the age of six, even though it has to come out, even though it's not manifest yet, might also have been considered some Kiddushei Tos. Adkan Kiddushei Tos, Rebose. A quick summary. Now let's spend a little bit of time on disclosure. A little bit of time, Rebose, on disclosure. So this is also a very, very important sugya. And let's start the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos. Mem hei omanav. Here the Gemara says, amazing Gemara. A man has a father who's not Jewish and a mother who's Jewish. No one wants to marry him. Says the Gemara over here, enough mem hei aman aleph. What do you do? Goli, itmar, hide yourself. Go into Golis and marry someone who won't know who you are. Franklin Stipler, how can this be? How can you fool somebody? You're not telling the person that your father is not Jewish. Shouldn't that be considered, number one, a possibility of Kiddushei Tos? And number two, even if it doesn't rise to that level, but at the very least, we should say that the individual had absolutely no right to fool somebody and not disclose this problem. So it's a stipler, no? You can't compare marriage to anything else. What's unique about marriage? What's unique about marriage as a stipler is, if you want to sell a house or sell a car, so there are numerous other houses and other cars that are identical. So if you're required to disclose every possible chesaron. But a human being, Rebosai, is different. There aren't people just like you who don't have your chesaron. So the stipler suggests the only chesaron you're required to divulge is a chesaron which is so great that when the party finds out about it after the marriage, they're going to walk out of the marriage. Anything less than that is not Kiddushei Tos, and not even an obligation to divulge it. This could explain a story I once had with the Rav Zichron Levracha, who seemed to argue with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has in Simon Ayin Gimel in brackets a person that had what's called Marfan syndrome. He required to divulge it to the woman before the Kiddushin. Shouldn't be Kiddushei Tos. Or at the very least, oh no! The Rav supposedly told a woman she did not have to divulge it. Maybe he held like the stipler. I don't know. Rav Yashin argues with his mechut in the stipler. That's different. That case, there's no chesaron in the person himself, just as a yichus chesaron. But any kind of a health chesaron or halachic chesaron would be different. That's what's quoted in the Sefer, I think, Bina B'Shiddach, from the Kovetz Chuvis of Rav Yashin, where he disagrees with the psak of the stipler. Some say that's no raya from Masechta Yevamos. Obviously, the person didn't check the yichus. He's far away from his. He didn't even ask the question. He didn't check. So he didn't check. It's some of a kibul, as opposed to some kind of a mum b'seser that you couldn't check. The stipler talks about this possibility and it discusses it. Where is the source for the stipler of Osai? It's the Ran in Ksubis Daf Kuf Aleph that we read earlier today. Lo hoya adava mutan alein legalos. The Sabri Efsha Shiyarev Olava Mekach. Okay? So therefore, in other words, maybe the person will settle for it. I'm not required. The only time I'm required is by Mumim and Nidarim. Because chazaka, says the Gemara, ain't other than the fire span. What's chazaka? What's chazaka mean? It's a chazaka habo mitam rov. Mitam rov. Maybe Rabosai, when it came to Mafir, most people have discovered after the marriage will not leave. So therefore, there's no, according to this Ran, there may not be a disclosure obligation. Of course, the question is that yes, the Gemara uses the expression of chazaka here in Masechta Ksuvos. Chazaka ain adam mefayes b'mumin. That's on the ayin hay omud bay is the last line. Chazaka adam mefayes b'mumin. What does the chazaka mean? It's not a status quo. It means it's a rove. Some suggest that no, chazaka means a rove gadol ma'od, where the mir is a mir shein hamotzi. After your motzi moment over here, it's a question of ksuba. You know, ein mochem a moment achar a rove. You need a very powerful rove. That's the question: how powerful the rove has to be in order for us to implement this kind of logic. I'm not exactly sure. It's a very serious question, of course, halacha lemaisa. Is it enough to have a rove of 51%? Do you require a rove of over 90%? That's exactly what's unclear. This is as far as disclosure from the perspective of the chosn and kala. What about disclosure from the perspective of a third party, which could easily affect you, Rabbi Osai? You know a problem. So the Pisrei Tshuva and Or HaChaim Kuf Nun Vav, if you know something bad, you are required to divulge it, Hashem Osalo, and if not, you're in violation of Lo Samar Al Dam Reyecha. And Rabbi Avadya passes this way, Yechavadah Schel Dalet Simen Samach, if he's sick, and you don't reveal it, you're over on the Lav Lo Samar Al Dam Reyecha, but of course, you may not exaggerate, and you must have pure intentions, only the toelts. And if you think it's clear to you they're going to go through the shidduch anyway, then the Chofetz Chaim says, what, you shouldn't tell them? You shouldn't tell them because they're going to go through it anyway. But it's such a difficult thing to. And then there's the other extreme. What if you can figure out that if you tell them, instead of doing their due diligence, they're going to break it up immediately? They have no right to do that either. Maybe it's not exactly 100% true. Then they also, maybe you shouldn't tell them. Very, very difficult Chofetz Chaim. It puts a lot of restrictions on. You have an obligation to say yes, but with many, many restrictions. So it's really difficult to know what to do in all these cases. You have to ask a shayla. But if you think they'll do the right thing, which is they will research it and make their decision, whatever their decision they reach, then really you should tell them at any stage. That's the poskim say. Very serious questions. He uses the expression Chofetz Chaim of chisaron. Otsum, a major chisar. Obviously, the further along it is, the more quiet they have to be. If they're already engaged, they have to assume they're going to do their due diligence and not just either go through with it anyway for sure or drop it in a second for sure, both of which are not considered to be appropriate responses. And the Minchas Yitzchak has the following case. A guy, over Avera Gedola Benaruso, must you reveal it? So he quotes the various sources in Yerodeah, where it says over there, look, he did it once, he did an Avera, we can't call him a Mekulkal. If he did it many times, he's a Mekulkal, and maybe there is a requirement of disclosure. It's a very serious problem, Rabbi Osei. It comes up in the Shulchan Aruch. What happens in some of these cases? Let's discuss, Rabbi Osei, the painful case. The painful case. A woman was not a basula. So it's a serious problem. It's a serious problem. What's the halacha? Must it be divulged? Need it not be divulged? It's quite complex. What do you do in these kinds of cases? Very, very, very complex. So if she's a balas tshuva after college, of course she can be quiet. Everyone knows the situation. If she's a frum from birth, or an early balas tshuva, then the Gemara is before again exubus. The Gemara says kinsa becheskas besula benimtes beula is a significant chesaron. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara whether you get exuba, whether the kedushin is even valid. Some poskim read pshat and atosis and exubus of yudam and aleph that perhaps it's a mekach tos. But the marriage is mamish mekach tos l'gamri mash, but they're not even married. It's not going to be quiet. So Rav Zalman Lechemya said, well, she can say she was nensa. doesn't do that much good for you, and it could be also ruin the shidduch. I asked, and maybe she can say she's a mukas eitz. That would solve the world. She's telling me, you know, she was on a horseback riding, and she went to the OBGYN. There was no psula because of the horseback riding. She was tampons, whatever. He said that he doesn't think that's good enough because mukas eitz, and look at the sugya of mekach tos here in Ksubis, is treated like a basula and not like a ba'ula for some of these purposes. And therefore, he wasn't convinced that you can keep this, quiet. It's a big problem. It's a big problem, Rabbi Osai. However, there are those who disagree and say even this can be kept quiet. Where did we find this? We found it in Tshuva's Divrei Yatzev, the Heiliger Kleusenberger Rebbe. The Kleusenberger Rebbe said that this can be kept quiet. Chiddush nifla v'noira ad me'od. I myself wouldn't have jumped at this conclusion, but he said it. And his basis is, look, these days, the man doesn't know if she's a basula or not a basula. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if he was never married before, then we give him pech. If he says Pesach Pesuch Matzosi, how do you know? You don't know what you're talking about. So he suggests this chiddush, that people don't care anymore so much, and it's not considered to be an Issa Gezel, because she's probably not going to collect the ksuba ever, and if he's a bachur, he doesn't know the difference. She was Mizana. So the Rambam says, Mizmana zeh, we're not medakli b'zivugim. Simen Aleph, Siv Gimel. It's like a takonas atzibur, minig mevatel halacha. And every chosn accepts upon himself this achrayis, because no pikuah of a bezin, not a mekach tos, and therefore, we no longer have the Adam after the marriage to see the blood on the sheet. So yeah, that's his Kleusenberger Rebbe. Okay, it's a chiddush, but it seems to me he's one of the gedolei hador mamish, a gadol b'torah, a gadol b'chesed, a gadol b'everything. Someone wants to rely on his opinion. He's an adam gadol. Yes.
What do you write in the ksuba?
What do you write in the ksuba? He's not going to tell him. Obviously, going to write in the ksuba psulta though. Yeah, Rebbe Moshe says he can't write psulta though unless he agrees. So the Rebbe says, who's going to have a collect the ksuba? They're never going to collect the ksuba anyway. These days, there's always mechilas ksuba. Okay? So she'll make up in her head that if she cases the death of divorce, she'll be mechil in the ksuba. Okay. Yeah?
With that kind of a story, can't you really temper with the ksuba and all these other phrases that were marked on
in Mark? In the Hanami, Rebbe Moshe says, you're allowed to write ksuba, even though she's not a ksuba, as long as he knows about it, as long as she wasn't nibble of the goy. Nibble of the goy, because it was a kahuna issue. Suppose I have to just finish up with a few other very important things, and we're going to I want to start the next sugya, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow. Just a couple of very, very brief comments. Rav Moshe is an incredible tshuva. A woman had no period. No period at all. Zero. Rav Moshe Paskins, you don't have to reveal it. Aye, but no periods. How can she have a child? Well, maybe there'll be cures afterwards. Maybe she'll be with her husband afterwards. And she'll make a deal. If there's no period for 4 years, she'll agree to accept the get right away. So what does he lose after all, the guy? Oh, he was the best bachur in yeshiva at age 22. Now he's a divorced 26-year-old guy. What does he lose? But Rav Moshe's heart went out to this poor girl. I don't know if I'd be master to Rav Moshe, to be honest with you. But just want to show how far Rav Moshe went because of the rachmonis he had on a Jewish girl. And the Beis Shmuel Paskins, if a woman does not reveal the mum, also such a loka hogan. And you're going to force her, in effect, to accept a get. In the Sefer Bina B'Shidduch, he claims that a woman is required to divulge a genetic problem, such as BRCA. And you have to check for BRCA to see if you have it. Chiddush gadol me'od as well. That's what he paskins. What if a woman had a psychiatric illness, she became better? Well, he had it, as a matter of fact. So if he still needs pills, Rav Sternberg, he has to divulge it. If not, perhaps not. But the woman has to divulge it. Why is it? It's unfair. She's going to have children. She's going to go into these stressful situations. All right, that's a psak she has, which we understand this psak. Now, Rabbi Osai, what if she tried to commit suicide with sleeping pills because she had growing pains, but there's no such fundamental mental illness right now? According to the stipulate, he thinks you would not have to reveal it. According to Rabbi Yashiv, you would have to reveal it. That's this machlokas which he has. What about Crohn's, which is a stomach ailment? He's mesupik. I would say the same shot. According to the stipler, you don't. And according to Rabbi Yashiv, you do. These are all very serious shots. But I was happy to see that he quotes over here from the Chazon Ish that says you should reveal these things, but towards the end, which I use as the halfway point, you know, the half-life. You have to give all these, you have to do these things. Otherwise, it's not going to be healthy. That, I said diabetes, I gave that as an example. Things of this nature, you should reveal it at the halfway point. And I was happy to see that the Chazon Ish is something similar as it's quoted in this sefer. Oh. Now, Rabbi Yashiv has the following case of Nimtzes Be'ula, quotes of Rabbi Yisrael Grossman, who quotes a Tosis Rabbi Osai, that a simpon is mevatel kiddushin. When is a simpon is a mum, right? When is a simpon mevatel kiddushin, Rabbi Osai? Only if it is ultimately revealed. Tzir Yevamis, that nun vava man aleph, dremaschol meis. Nechash le simpon. So he says, no. Only kshiyochal adavol is galus. So Rav Grossman wrote to Rav Yashiv, since he's never going to know, so therefore we should say, there's no need to reveal. It's not considered in the category of simpon. So Rav Yashiv responds, all that means is, there's no zera by a coin. But over here, when she knows about it, she would be required to say something. But on the other hand, why is Drusas Ish such a big problem? Because she's Nim Eseslo, she's disgusting to him because he wanted a Psula. But if he never finds out, so maybe she will not be Nim Eses. Okay? And therefore, maybe these days it's not such a big concern. He goes back and forth. He's worried about the Ksuba. And the Ksuba is a problem. And since he wrote the wrong Ksuba, they're living their whole life with no Ksuba. Because she's only entitled to what? To a lower level Ksuba. He wrote a higher level Ksuba, which is not binding. I want, as my last point, to get out of it the following way. It was once a case, Rabbi Osai, where they, number one, this man is there, maybe you don't even need a ksuba, because you can't divorce a wife against her will, because of cherem, Rabbi Megersh. Okay? Number two, since he doesn't know about it, that the ksuba is no good, it's slow, as far as he knows, until he goes to the grave, really she's entitled to that ksuba. And three, and finally, he wrote her a Tosefes Ksuba, which we she is entitled to, says the Chelkos Mechok Ksam of Zion, Sifkot and Hei. And the Tosefes Ksuba is greater than the Ika Ksuba. And Rav Zalman Nechemi was making the case when he wrote for a Gioras, an adoptive child who was from Skaya before the age of three, a Mishnah of Yudalf and Ksuba, she's entitled to Messiah. He wrote more, but they put in the Tosefes. Rav Zalman Nechemi passed and it's not considered Pogos Miksubosa because of the Tosefes. This would apply over here as well. I'm sorry for speaking so fast. I just had to get this topic finished today. Otherwise, you don't even stand a chance of getting through the Chazara. So, beginning of tomorrow, Shia back regular time at 1 o'clock, Rabbi Osai. And we'll discuss the next sukkahs. I want to try to finish all the sukkahs of the first perek, Bli Neder, somehow or other tomorrow. And then, that's a Bli Neder. That's a very big Bli Neder. We'll try. And then we'll continue with the Chazara of the second perek.